You're listening to Art House Radio, an Everything Arts podcast and an Art House 43 production. Visit arthouse43.com.
Welcome to Art House Radio, friends. I'm your host, Troy Ramos. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. This is episode 168, Netflix versus Criterion. Let the battle commence. I'll give you perhaps one good reason to consider dropping Netflix, and I'll give you 2.5 good reasons to consider subscribing to Criterion Collection's new streaming service, and we'll hear a clip from, well, an appropriate clip from the cinema. This is Art House Radio, the art of film. And remember that you can support the show by going to arthouse43.com and clicking on support. Any support you could give will be greatly appreciated. Your support means everything. And follow us everywhere at arthouse43. There either is or is not. That's the way things are. The color of the day. The way it felt to be a child. The salt water on your sunburnt legs. Sometimes the water is yellow. Sometimes it's red, but what color it may be in memory depends on the day. I'm not going to tell you the story the way it happened. I'm going to tell it the way I remember it. That's from Great Expectations in 1998, directed by Alfonso Cuarón. In the blue corner, Netflix standing in at $12.99 a month. And in the red corner, the Criterion Collection coming in at a whopping $10.99 a month, or $9.99 if you subscribe before April 8th. Two titans forever lost in a sea of never-ending digital... Okay, that's enough. But there you have it. That's the dilemma. Netflix versus Criterion. You've never heard anybody talk about this? Well, you are now, so that's not true. And we all know about Netflix, but what is the Criterion Collection anyway? Also, this show isn't sponsored by Criterion. I just want to give a clear picture of what it is so that you can enjoy whichever service goes best with your glass of wine and or edible. Criterion was formed in 1984 by three guys who started something called the Voyager Company, which published educational multimedia CD-ROMs. Do you remember CD-ROMs? That's the name of my book that's coming out. It's an autobiography. You'll read it. The Criterion then became a subordinate division of Voyager. Today, the Criterion Collection is an American home video distribution company, which focuses on licensing, quote, important classic and contemporary films. Some examples include Fellini's 8.5, David Lynch's Mulholland Drive, Kurosawa's Seven Samurai, everything by director Jean Renoir, Rushmore, Wings of Desire, Dr. Strangelove, and every other classic film you can think of, basically. So, therein lies the difference, as you can tell, perhaps, between Netflix and Criterion. Netflix, which provides its own content, is publishing a special for every single stand-up in the country. You have to sort through all those. It has a never-ending stream of things you feel lukewarm about. And let's face it, it's a problem that people talk about individually or maybe with each other, but it isn't something that we talk about collectively, or it isn't something that I've ever heard anyone talk about in a documentary or in a public discussion forum. You spend most of your time searching for things you want and hardly any time watching anything. It's a problem. Now, why would there be a documentary about this? Well, there wouldn't, but I mean, you would include a big section on this in a documentary about, say, technology or the things that we do on a daily basis, our technological habits, if you will. So one of the problems that I have with Netflix personally, besides the fact that you search all day, is that the reasons that you're searching all day are so fixable, yet they do nothing about it. I'll give you an example. So if you're looking up a particular genre, right? You're looking through the movies, you look at one genre and you don't see anything, or you see a few things. You go down to the next genre, and you're seeing the same movies that are crossing over. Now, I get it. Some things are dramatic. Some things are comedic. But it's almost like Netflix is taking what they think you want to watch, and that's debatable, and they're giving you like a pile of movies, like say 60 movies, and all they're doing is rearranging in a different order those same 60 that they want you to see, rather than giving you what's available on their entire collection so that you can choose based on your mood or your day or your habits or something that may have happened to you or a suggestion that was made to you that might be outside of your norm. I love the Rocky films. I also love L'Avventura by Michelangelo Antonioni. Now, how do you categorize that? You can't. That's the problem. There's no sort of mind-expanding opportunities on Netflix. They're only trying to narrow you down the way you are as they see it or at that moment or based on your habits, when we don't even know what our habits are. And let's not get into the whole idea that the AI can predict our habits before we can. Yeah, some of the times it can, but not always. Humans are very unpredictable. That's one of the great things about being a human, and one of the, I assume, terrible things about what it will be like to be a robot. So you're searching all day, you're seeing the same movies in every category, you're seeing the same group of movies that are being rearranged, monsieur, on your little screen there, like the deck chairs on the Titanic. And it makes me wonder if they're being paid to show you a limited selection. Now, of course they are, right? That's obvious. I don't know. I didn't do research onto this, but I would imagine that they are being paid by companies to promote certain things that come out, especially their own content or stuff they paid a lot of money for. Maybe they get a little bit money knocked off if they show certain things on the front page. Now, that's very good for them, but it's not good for us, because the whole point of this is to watch things that you want to watch. Now, I get it. Netflix doesn't have commercials. Not yet, anyway. So they have to make a little bit of money, but that's what you're paying for. You're paying $12.99 to access their collection. And to be fair, having someone close in my life who has worked for Netflix, let's just leave it at that, I know how much they pay for these things, and to be honest, so does everybody else. But it's an incredible tool. You have so much content that you can watch, especially when you compare it to like the old days when you had to buy a VHS tape or a DVD. I still buy DVDs, by the way. I like that much better. It's actually a trend that's coming back in my life. Nevertheless, I don't want to emphasize that we don't have enough content. We have everything at our fingertips nowadays, so I don't want to encourage spoiled bratism. But I just wanted to say that, you aren't showing people what you got. If you have two people, let's say two friends who have different likes, maybe they aren't close friends, so that their likes in terms of movies and films are different enough so that Netflix would be different for each person in terms of what they browse. Same country, two people, same country. If you were to look at the top picks or what they suggest or what's trending, even something that's not supposed to be necessarily related to the specific user, you would see two different titles, two different bags of titles. I don't know if bags is the right word, but you know what I'm saying. You would see two different screens. You'd see all kinds of different movies on each one, under each genre. You'd see different genres probably. Why is that happening? It shouldn't be happening. And Netflix has a huge problem on their hand because they think people aren't smart enough to pick up on this, and they are. Everybody who has Netflix understands that they are pumping out who knows how many comedy specials. And I love stand-up comedy, don't get me wrong. That and countless TV shows that you're never going to watch that might be good, but you don't have the time. People just want to watch what they want, feel like watching at the moment. And it isn't necessarily based on their past habits. And sometimes they want to go back and revisit old things. Let me give Netflix a couple of suggestions here. Let's move into that segment And I want to be clear, Netflix, if somehow you're listening to this, if you take any of these ideas, you'll be hearing from my lawyers. Let's just put it that way. That's how gold I think these ideas are. Are you ready for this? I hope so. You might want to sit down. Maybe get a gin and tonic or a vodka tonic, a Cosmo. Cosmos are delicious. And sit down, because you're going to like these suggestions, and you're going to write to Netflix on Twitter asking them to listen to this episode, first of all, to pay me the appropriate royalties for this idea, because it's going to happen. And I tell you what, I will lawyer up if Netflix takes these ideas. Are you ready? All right. Here's the first one. And I just thought of it the other day. Now, this is something, you know what, I should admit that this isn't totally my idea, but a Friday night double feature. Why not pick movies, maybe even for every day of the week, Friday and Saturday, maybe Wednesday, whatever it is. Pick something that's not on Netflix that month, but that's like a surprise, or that's maybe even a new release. So you give your people, your customers, the people who are paying your yacht money, the mortgage on your fourth house, whoever the CEO is, people who are doing that, you're giving them something a little extra, a little exciting. Can you imagine, let's say at Oscar time, you sit down and you've got all 10 or 8 or whatever nominations in a queue, in their own little category. Oscar nominees, 1 through 8, or, you know, the shorts, Oscar nominee shorts. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, couldn't you find a way to make money off of that, Netflix, by giving that to your customers? That's one thing to do. That or a Friday night suggestion. I say that it's not entirely my idea, because people were doing it in cinemas, of course, throughout the 20th century. But then they also did that on a little streaming service called Filmstruck, which existed before Criterion Collection, which we'll get to in a minute. So that's one idea, right? And this is another idea that I've been saying for years, keeping it to myself, but unleashing now into the public. Why is there no random button? It's so easy. Why couldn't you have a random queue? You could put as many movies as you want into this special, not just my list, but my random list. So it's just an extra category. You could put 20 movies in there. You click a button whenever you don't want to search, and it just picks one for you. So you don't have to think about it. So you can shove macaroni and cheese into your mouth to no end as computers and technology choose the entertainment for you. It's really simple. It would be fun. You could even have a random button for all of Netflix's titles available. Why not? Who cares? Idea number three. Are you writing these down? Idea number three is you can click a button and it will take everything that is on your screen at the moment, or that you search through a genre and it'll show you maybe 5 videos, and you click the button on the right, it'll show you 5 new ones, whatever. And you get to the end of maybe 20 or 25. Everything on your computer at that login, you can click a button and it'll wipe all that away and give you fresh things. Doesn't matter how terrible it is. You can go back. You can bring back the original one if you want, but you just click it and it takes everything away and brings in only new things. Call it the refresh button. Has anybody marketed that? Has everybody invented that? The refresh button? Get on it. Idea number four. And I think this might be my favorite one yet, even though I've given you some bangers already. Why isn't there a shareable playlist like on Spotify or iTunes or YouTube? You could create a movie playlist that you can share with your friends and family. You can share with the public if you so choose. You can connect it to social media somehow. Why not? Isn't that an interactive way? Isn't that a way for people to find out what other people are watching as well? So if someone shares a playlist with you and like, hey, I didn't know that movie was on there, Netflix won't show that to me. So you go and you look for it, and there it is. These are just a few of the ideas that I have. And the reason I bring it up is because I just want everybody to do the best they can do. And I don't think Netflix is achieving that, which is why I think until they do, and let me add, I don't think they're going to go for any of these ideas or come up with them on their own. I think Criterion Collection is a great alternative. I think you should switch. I mean, I have both because that's just how I roll, so to speak, as the kids say. That's just what I'm doing. I spend a lot of time watching film. I like film and TV shows. It's great. I have more than Netflix and Criterion as well. I have HBO and Hulu and whatever. Anyway, I'm happy with my choices in life. I'm not on trial here. It's Netflix and Criterion that's on trial. But my point is that I think Criterion is probably the world we want to live in, where you want people to be thoughtful and enjoy film and thoughtful ideas and be empathetic and thoughtful and respectful and reverent with some of the things that we've been lucky to have in this life. It all comes down to the question of, will our at-home viewing habits inevitably shape our culture? And I think the answer is yes.
Do you believe in fate, Neo?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life. That there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.